It's good to be with you this morning. It's great to be here to be able to open God's word together and to be able to share with you. And we're going to be thinking about that today, about blindness and sight, darkness and light. Just imagine for a moment somebody who is blind, who can't see at all. What other things might it be difficult for them to be able to do? Any suggestions, any ideas? What else might they struggle with?
Cooking.
Yeah. Lisa. Walking, yeah, being able to see where to go. Everything really, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, everything. Because all they can see is darkness. It's darkness. They can't see anything else. You know, Jesus speaks into this in his word. He talks about darkness and light, blindness and being able to see. John 1 and verse 1 to 8 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, the Word being Jesus. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And who was the light? Well, a little bit further on in John 8 and verse 12, we read these words. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. He's come into the world, which is in darkness. The Bible tells us that we all in this world are living in darkness. But Jesus came into the dark world as the light that we might be able to see. And we're going to be thinking about that a little bit later on.
Chapter 10, verse 46 to 52.
Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, Call him. So they called to the blind man, Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Wonderful. Thank you, Logan.
Right, if you could have your Bibles open at that passage, Mark chapter 10, that would be really helpful. And thank you, Logan, for reading it so well to us as well. That was fantastic. Okay. Hope this can work. Okay, one evening just before Christmas, a man was walking through the streets of the local town and came across a particular store that was beautifully decorated, ready for Christmas. And he observed three small children intensely interested in one of them. He discovered that amongst the three children, the one in the middle was blind. And the other two were trying to help describe the beautiful things that were in the window. Why, they said, can't you see the teddy bear and that doll? Just look at that pretty pink bow. But the poor little girl who was in the middle, who was blind, just stood blank-faced with no expression on her face because she couldn't see. She couldn't appreciate the beautiful things that were in front of her. This morning, you might be able to see physically, see all the beauty that's around us. We've got a beautiful sunny morning, haven't we? But what about spiritually? Spiritually, are you like the little girl in the window who just couldn't see? who couldn't see the amazing beauty of what was in front of her, and so wasn't able to enjoy and delight in it. Or put it another way, are you in that dark room, not able to see anything, not quite knowing where the light switch is? I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. Get up in the middle of the night, go to the toilet, it's dark, you can't quite see, you're kind of stumbling all over the place. You need the light, but you're not quite sure where the light switch is. But you need it in order to be able to see. Perhaps this morning you've already encountered the light of Jesus, but it's fading in the darkness of the world around us. This morning, you need reminding afresh of what it means to walk in the light. Wherever you are this morning, my prayer is that we will see clearly from this encounter here in Mark chapter 10, the amazing love and grace of Jesus. The amazing love and grace of Jesus for each and every one of us. This morning we're going to see two things in this passage that Bartimaeus does, and then two things that Jesus does. So two things that Bartimaeus does, and two things that Jesus does. So, first of all, Bartimaeus. Let's just get a bit of context. Always helpful, isn't it, to have a bit of context around the passage of the verses that we're looking at. If you go back to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 22, then you get there the start of a long sequence where eyes are opened. So as to who the identity of Jesus is. Jesus as the Messiah, the rescuer, the saviour. And this encounter with Bartimaeus kind of represents the end of that sequence of events. As we see the eyes of the blind man opened to recognise in Jesus the arrival of the great Messiah. And if you just scan your eyes across from Mark chapter 8 verse 22 through to our passage today, you'll see three times sprinkled throughout those verses. Three times we see Jesus predicting his death. Jesus predicting his death, helping them to see and to understand what the Messiah meant. Not some mighty, strong warrior who is going to come and rescue them in battle, but a sacrificial lamb willing to die in order to save and to rescue. Earlier on, we thought, didn't we, a little bit about what it would mean to be blind, the things that a blind person would struggle with, things they would struggle to do. They experience extra fears. There are many things that they depend on other people for. You know, in the past, they often had to resort to begging for their survival. Before the days of things like braille writing, guide dogs, special training schemes for blind people, they couldn't perform paid jobs. So they were forced to depend on other people's pity. Wherever a crowd gathered, at the marketplace or sporting events, blind people would always be seen out there with their begging bowls. And so in verse 46 of this chapter, we have Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, who lived in Jericho, a well-known city, a walled city, bustling with trade and people. If you know the story of Zacchaeus, it takes place in Jericho. The parable of the Good Samaritan is based on somebody going from Jericho to Jerusalem. He was stood at the city, or the exit of the city, which lots of people would have been pushing through or passing through as they went up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus himself was heading up there. Be the last, or he's heading as he heads towards the cross. Bartimaeus will have known of Jesus and what he'd been doing, his healing and the many other miracles that he had performed. Sitting, begging, as he would have done outside the city gates, he would have heard people talking about him. Perhaps even he himself at some point had joined the edges of the crowd, hoping to be given some money, or at least be able to hear in the distance the voice of Jesus. So here we have a poor, lowly beggar because he's blind. And therefore, he is rejected by society. Left to survive by begging for other people's money, and no doubt as well, food scraps. But notice something amazing here. And this is the first point that I want to make this morning. Notice what Bartimaeus does. He sees Jesus. Bartimaeus sees Jesus. He appreciated something which many sighted people closed their eyes to, or simply just couldn't see. The fact that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised son of David, the Messiah, the deliverer, the saviour, the rescuer. Listening to the talk about his miracles of healing, he became all the more convinced. He became certain that Jesus had the power to do all things, that Jesus was God, and perhaps he would be able to give him his sight back. I wonder this morning, who are you in this narrative? Are you in the crowd before Jesus, able to see him physically, yet blind spiritually to who he is and what he came to do? Or are you Bartimaeus, who couldn't see physically with his eyes, but listened and saw spiritually? So that he believed with all his heart that Jesus could save and cure him. Having seen Jesus, he then calls to Jesus. He calls out to Jesus in verse 47 to 48. Just imagine for a moment Bartimaeus' anticipation as he heard a large crowd approaching and gathering. Crowds were always good news for a beggar. He became hugely excited when he heard that Jesus was passing by. His opportunity had come. He believed that Jesus was God. He knew that he could heal him. All that remains is for him to call out to him and to ask Jesus for the help that he needed. There was no doubt in his mind that if only he could get to Jesus, that he would be healed. However, Bartimaeus had a problem. He couldn't see, so he couldn't just walk up to Jesus, especially through such a large crowd. Also, because of his status in society, he didn't have any friends to help him. So what does he do? What does he resort to? Well, he resorts to shouting and calling out. He calls out. But what happens? Well, immediately, the people told him to stop. Be quiet. Jesus isn't going to be interested in you. But he wasn't put off. He wasn't put off at all. In the book, Help My Toddler Rules the House, the author refers to an article in which they state that nagging has become the norm for many young people. 55% of the young people surveyed said they can usually get their parents to give in because they don't give up asking. Please, please. Are there any of you been in that situation? A few smiles around, yeah? Just keeps going and keeps going. They don't give up until they get what they want. Bartimaeus could not use his eyes, but he could use his voice. And so he shouted even the more loudly when people told him to be quiet. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. His prayer was short, yet it said all that was necessary. He believed Jesus could heal him, and so he was determined to get to him somehow in some way. He could use his voice. Nothing or no one was going to stop him. He wasn't going to give up. And so at this point, I'd like us just to take note of two things. Firstly, that he welcomes Jesus coming. Bartimaeus welcomed Jesus coming. Notice as he cries out to Jesus, what does he say? He says, "Have mercy on me." You see, he knows he can't rescue himself. He doesn't deserve to be rescued and restored. But he wants to be. He has a burning desire and needs to be. And he knows the only person that can do that is Jesus. And so he welcomes his coming. Do you, do I this morning see our need of God's mercy? Do we welcome Jesus who came to show us mercy in rescuing us whilst we were still sinners? Perhaps this morning you're here out of curiosity. Perhaps you're here because you come along with parents or family members or friends. Perhaps it's just what you do on a Sunday. But by coming, you have found yourself confronted with the Saviour of the world. You've heard his words from the Bible and learned what it means to need God's mercy and grace. You have heard of the only person who can forgive your sin and give real life, eternal life, to take you from darkness to light. He's the one who gave himself willingly to die on the cross, so that the punishment that your sin and my sin deserves could be dealt with forever. So that the way to God is open. That you can have a relationship with the creator of the universe again and spend eternity with him. Psalm 103, verse 11 to 12 says this: "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." This morning, are you glad like Bartimaeus? Because there is a way out of our sin problem. There's a way to be rescued from the consequences of your sin. You can be rescued, as the Bible says, from hell and saved to eternal life with God forever, enjoying the new heaven and the new earth, the new creation. You've already sung it with me. I am a new creation in Jesus this morning. Bartimaeus welcomed Jesus' coming. But secondly, note, he's not easily put off. He is not easily put off. Bartimaeus physically was weak. He was blind. He was dependent on other people. But it wasn't going to stop him. This morning, when you think about it, are you put off by weaknesses? Do we allow perhaps some little doubt or a problem or a particular situation or arrangement to stand in the way of coming to Jesus? Of having our sight restored by him? Or perhaps, are we put off by friends, colleagues, family, the world around us, when they stop us wanting to become serious about the Bible and things of God? You know, there are many voices, aren't there, in the world around us today that are vying for our attention. Many voices in our society and in our culture. You do you, I do me. You do whatever, you can be whatever you want to be, just believe in yourself. Many voices, many influences around us vying for our attention. I wonder this morning, however old or young you are here this morning, what is the loudest voice in your life? Are they the things of the world? If you like, are they the crowd around? Or is it Jesus and his truth, the truth? Bartimaeus took no notice of those who tried to silence his cries. And soon, we see, actually, they were offering encouragement. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they, the crowd, called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Notice here that those who were making him be quiet earlier, as soon as Jesus speaks, they obey. Jesus told them to do something, and they do it. They submit to his authority. Jesus has total and complete authority, not the world. Those things that can put us off, can draw us away, ultimately they cannot win. Jesus will win. Jesus has won. And so we come to Jesus in our narrative this morning. We've seen two things that Bartimaeus did, and now we're going to see two things that Jesus did. The first thing is that Jesus responds, 49 to 51. Jesus responds. Just imagine for a moment what this meant to Bartimaeus. The vast crowd that had gathered followed Jesus, with all the noise and the commotion that that brought. And what happens? Jesus himself stops. He stops not for the most important person in the crowd that the crowd thought was. No, he stopped for a poor blind beggar who had nothing at all to offer him. Jesus hears him and he stops. And then he calls out to him. You see, Jesus values him. He loves him. He hears him. Even when the world rejected him. This morning, do you feel rejected by the world? Jesus says, "I love you. I hear you. I value you. Come to me. Come to me." Perhaps for you this morning, that might mean coming to Jesus for the first time. Perhaps you feel battered by the world. Living for Jesus is tough, and it's taken its toll on you. perhaps even taken its toll on your walk with him. This morning, is Jesus reminding you that I love you, that I value you, that I hear you? Come to me. Remember what I have done for you. I have given you your sight. I have brought you from darkness to light. I have forgiven you and I have given you eternal life. Notice that as Jesus calls Bartimaeus, what does Bartimaeus do? He casts aside his cloak, his physical means of support, his old way of life. And he jumps to his feet. Notice that there's an expectation there, there's an excitement. He jumps to his feet. The man has faith. Faith that Jesus will restore him and change him. And that his life is about to change. I wonder this morning, are you waiting for Jesus to do something, to prove himself, to do something amazing before you will respond to him? Or will you take that step or even jump of faith, expectant of what Jesus will do for you? Have you taken that step of faith? And are you following Jesus? But if, perhaps when you think about it for a moment, if you're honest, you haven't really cast aside your cloak, the old way of life. You're holding on to something particular. This morning, do you need to come and give yourself wholeheartedly to Jesus? Throwing off your old way of life completely and trusting in him with your life. Having got to Bartimaeus then, he asks him this question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What amazing words to hear from the Lord of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. What do you want me to do for you? I wonder, did Bartimaeus' mind begin to dream of all the things that he wanted? Things that he hadn't had for so long, for money, for a big house, for family, for good education, good career. No. He remained single-minded. He wanted his sight, and that is exactly what he asked for. I wonder, what is it this morning that you want Jesus to do for you? We need to seek, don't we, the one blessing that matters, the ability to see the things of God and receive his forgiveness, to gain spiritual sight. But also, not just for us, for those around us, perhaps for our friends, for our family, those in the community, that they too would see the light of Jesus. So Jesus responds, and then secondly, Jesus restores in verse 52. Jesus restores. Again, Jesus has done many, many miracles, and he doesn't do them just to gain popularity and become famous. It's not like a magician or anything of that nature. No. He does it very simply and very plainly. He spoke kindly to Bartimaeus and gave him back his sight. Just put yourself in Bartimaeus' shoes for a moment. You've been blind all that time, then all of a sudden, you can see again. Then maybe you've been in a dark room for a long time, and then you suddenly put the bright lights back on again. And it's kind of like, wow, it takes your eyes a little bit of a time to adjust, doesn't it? Well, imagine if you've been blind for so many years, then all of a sudden, you're able to see. That's what happens here. Bartimaeus is a man of faith, whose healing from physical affliction of blindness also speaks of the faith which is the source of God's ultimate salvation. His faith not only heals him, but it also saves him. And it will for you and I too. Acts 16:31 says this: believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Not might be, possibly, but you will be saved. And notice as well, as we read through this passage here, the restoration doesn't stop at that point. His restoration leads to action, to follow him. As Jesus responds and heals, Bartimaeus' response is to follow. And we see something similar, don't we, elsewhere in Scripture. When Jesus calls his first disciples, the fishermen leave their nets, the tax collectors leave their booths. They leave behind their old way of life in order to follow Jesus. And you can look elsewhere. When Jesus saves, when Jesus restores, there is transformation. And those around notice. Again, take someone like Zacchaeus. Completely and totally transformed by Jesus. And everyone else around knew. This morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, how are you doing at following him? Do those you mix with during the week know that you're a Christian? Or is it the voice of the world that's drowning out Jesus? This morning, Jesus says, I have restored you. I have forgiven you. I have brought you from darkness to light. Follow me, and I will give you all that you need to walk with me. Fix your eyes on me. For I am the light of the world. That verse we read earlier. I am the light of the world. And he gives his spirit, doesn't he, to help us to do that. So as we draw to a close, that's the story of Bartimaeus. What can some of the things we can take from that? Some reminders here. Questions and then some promises. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? For who he really is. The saviour of the world. The one who rescues and saves for all eternity. Have you called out to Jesus? Like Bartimaeus, have you called out to him to save you? You may not need saving physically from something like blindness, but we all need saving spiritually, don't we? Jesus, and only Jesus, is the one to save. We need to see him for who he is and call out to him. Despite what the world around us might say, despite what the world around us might offer us, nothing and nothing at all comes anywhere close or compares to Jesus and who he is. If you haven't, can I encourage you, can I urge you this morning to come to him, to call out to him? Because then we see two promises that I want us to take away as well. First of all, that Jesus will respond. When we call out to him, he will respond. He longs for us to turn to him. He longs for us to come to him. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is no question, there is no doubt. You will be saved. And then that second promise, that Jesus will restore. Jesus restores us to himself, to that relationship that we've already spoken about this morning. John 8:12, which I read a little bit earlier on. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our blindness is turned to amazing and wonderful sight. The darkness we once lived in turns to glorious light. This morning, may we not stay looking at the shop window, not being able to see the beauty that's within it. But may God remove the spiritual blindfold, enabling us to move from darkness to light and see his glory, his power, his majesty, and saving grace. And as we see these most amazing and wonderful things, may we live in the light of them, that we might be full of joy, full of hope, full of thankfulness, and have an expectation of what God will do, and how he might use you this week, wherever that may be, to show others the good news of Jesus, to show others that in this dark world, there is a great light, and it is Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Saviour, has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Let's take a moment just to reflect on some of those things. I understand as well here you often have an open time of prayer afterwards as well. So let's just take a moment to be quiet. And if anyone wants to pray out loud, feel free to. And then I'll close that time in a few moments.
We praise you that we can come before you because of what Jesus has done on the cross. because he is the light of the world. Lord, we thank you that you open the eyes of the blind. Lord, that you shine your great light into this dark world. Lord, help us to be thankful for all that you have done for us. Lord, help us to see who you are. Help us to delight in who you are and what you've done. Lord, help us this week. Lord, as we go out from here in a little while, help us to be conscious and aware of your spirit with us. Lord, help us to share the good news of Jesus with those around us, that they too would understand the light of the world. And Lord, I pray for any here this morning that don't yet know you, Lord, that this morning you would open their eyes to you. You would take that blindfold off, that they would see you for who you are, as we've looked at these verses here with blind Bartimaeus. And they would take that step of faith and put their trust in you. Father, we thank you this morning for your amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Amen.